Okay, in 1968, my friend Eric Westroth, who lives on Sunnyside Road at the very end, on the right-hand side, practically a private drive off of the paved road, had been my friend at that time up 15 years, and talked about a UFO sighting. We all talked about UFO sightings at work because then they knew what I was doing about UFOs. He said, "Don, I've had one or two sightings in the last week over Long Lake." I says, "You're kidding." He says, "No, 10, 10:30, quarter to 11 in the evening." He says, "I'm off a day shift and I'm home. I thought one night it was an airplane landing," he said. "I'd come out and I'd look, and this red light is just hovering." And I says, "You're kidding." And he says, "No." He said, "In fact, this particular thing, I didn't see this." He said, "The water was rippling beneath the UFO. The light was shining off the UFO and the water was being agitated right below it." And he said, "Then," he said, "I knew it wasn't a plane. And the red pulsating light was pulsating." He said, "And then it moved on and down it went." He said, "I just watched in awe." So this particular night, he says, "We're at work." He says, "This is what I seemed on." He said, "This was an afternoon week that we were talking about this." So the following week on day shift, he phones me. "So you're going to come out and buy some fish tonight?" And my son was interested. He had his fourth aquarium, starting with a 10-gallon, then a 25, then a 50, and then a 100. And he had bought many, many fish from Eric Westroth over the time, from Egyptian mouth breathers, silver fish, everything but the elaborate $100 fish. And Eric's whole basement was covered in fish, of which they aren't anymore today. He's gone out of that business. And so we went out to this house this night, and I forget what it was, two little cute little neons, I think that's what they're called, 50 cents each. Kenny bought a couple that night, and Eric put them in the bag, and as usual, very nice to me and his wife. And he said, "Come on upstairs, and we'll have some German buns my wife just baked, or cookies, and pop for the kids, and coffee." And we sat in their living room, dining room, which he had just newly renovated at the time. He had a beautiful picture window overlooking the lake. There was no buildings blocking his view. Although he didn't have a lakeshore property, he was about 500-600 feet from the lake and could see it quite clearly. And as we're enjoying our coffee and the kids are playing and talking, and he says, "There's one right now." And I couldn't believe, we're looking out and here's a red light looking right out the picture window. A red light so slow that it can't be a plane coming in for a landing. It can't be one taking off, because as he said, if an airplane is taking off or landing, they would have to have radar at this time of night, which they don't, private little planes, and you would hear the roar. And being a summer night, windows are all open, screens are open, we all run out into the yard, and sure enough, here's this blink, blink red light like a pulsating heartbeat. And he says, "That's just like I seen before." He says, "Except this time it's not hovering. It was just going about 10-15 miles an hour." And right away, Kenny, my son, got the bright idea. "Dad, let's race it to the far end. It's going right down the lake." And I said, "Goodbye, Eric. Good night." We took our fish, excuses. And he says, "Well, I don't blame you." And we fired up my car. It was a Ford at the time, my own. And down the lake we went until we caught up with it. It wasn't too long because it just passed. It was doing about 25 to 30 miles an hour. We were keeping a constant eye between the buildings. And we'd see the flash of red, and then a tree, and then the UFO. And then we'd miss it, and it'd be a high building. We couldn't see it. Then we'd just go in about an even 30. And then, oh, there it is. Kenny was looking out the left side. And I'm watching over too. I'm jiggling all over the road. Think I might go off the road because I'm looking over at the lake and looking at the road and keeping up with it. And the dad says, Kenny said, he said, "Dad, speed up a little bit. Maybe we'll beat it to the corner where the road, 90 degree, eh? Where you come out to the end, turn into Sudbury or on the other side of Long Lake." And I says, "Okay." So we speeded up to about 45, 50, got ahead, stopped the car, put the emergency on, left the motor running, headlights on. And we just got out of the car, and Kenny says, "There it's coming, Dad." And sure enough, 800, maybe 1,000 feet, we're standing right at the edge of the lake shore and where the road joins, and there's a tunnel bridge with a big galvanized, still is there today, just a flow through for the water. It dumps into a creek and goes down into a lake where the lands and forests parked their planes. At the end of Long Lake, there's another little lake at the bottom, and they parked them there. That's where they take off from to water bomb. I just forget the name of this lake, but if you look on a map, it's Long Lake and this other lake. So anyway, we're there and we're there, and it's coming and it's coming, and it comes right over the top of the car, no more than 50 feet high. The hair on my arms stood right up. It's just like static electricity, like a magnet. I could feel a tingling in the back of my neck. And my son, who had a very short haircut, he says, "Oh my God," he could feel the hair jiggling on the back. He says, "What a feeling, you know." We're both amazed with this because it's so close. The lights in my car went down to a dim yellow for about 3-4 seconds, and my motor stumbled. I thought it was just going to cut it right off. I had read times before where cars' electricity was just drained and they stopped. In this case, I won't lie about it, it didn't. The motor just V8, it just jiggled a bit, just like it was going to stop, but the UFO going at the speed, it just had it hovered over the car, I imagine it would have. But it just passed over, lights dim, motor went, and then it smoothed out. And Kenny said, did you see that? And I said, I sure did. And that's all we talked about until we got home. Alice said, oh, you're coming home late. By this time, it's about 10 to 11. I says, that's okay. Kenny's got no school tomorrow. You know, usually we had him to bed before 11. Even in the summer, 10 o'clock usually he was. So he put his new fish in the tank, and we talked about UFOs all that evening. In fact, I don't think I slept till 3 in the morning. My hands get all sweaty, and I was so excited when I went to bed, having a UFO pass within 50 feet over my head, you know, coming right over my car. Now, I don't think too many people get anything closer than that. You know, any closer than that, then maybe my skin would have got burnt from the radiation coming off of it. You know, it wasn't blowing out any fire or anything like that. But it definitely, whatever type of motor that has in it, or effect it has to keep its elevation, does make the hair feel electrical, static on your arms, your hair, and you get this feeling. I mean, you can actually, it does something to your hair. And this was one of the most exciting nights, this recalling that, the super tower, the time the two were down over New Sudbury Line sucking up power, one taking a turn and then the other. That was another exciting night, especially when they wrote in the paper the next day, vandals shoot insulators off hydro lines, causing power blackout of 1 hour, and it was two UFOs sucking the power out. And just a nice little notice in the paper on the second page, vandals go out and shoot off insulators and power line, hydro has to go out in the middle of night and repair power line to get power restored. And I said, sure, talk to me about it. Again, one of the things that you're supposed to keep quiet about, and you talk to your friends about it, you talk to Hennebury from Ontario Hydro about it, and he admitted that yes, this is happening quite often. I'd talked to him the year before, and he said, we're not to divulge this to the general public. He said, we know about them. It's for 2 years now we've been plagued with power outages or power shortages. Long Lake, he says, has been in that area, and the night you were watching that area, also at Windy Lake, which is up by Levac, one hovered too long. I've got to recall this while this tape is going. It hovered so long one night over one spot that it melted the lines for 300 feet. And they had to send out, this is the middle of the winter, they had to send out their toboggan skidoos, you know, with the wide track and cables, and go out there and assess the damage. And the power was off at the Falconbridge's Facuna mine, Inco's Levac mine, for the remainder of the night from 3 in the morning till 7. The men couldn't come up, change shifts at 7 in the morning, because everybody had to stay down because electricity was totally cut off until Ontario Hydro got the lines repaired. It was just 300 feet. They brought in samples. They weren't no longer than a foot long. This was all private. They were melted, and they turned them over to labs for testing. And, of course, an eyewitness that was along the road that night said, this didn't happen by accident. He said, I seen the UFO over the road, hovering over there and sitting there, and the glowing underneath the belly, and he said all of a sudden it just disappeared. And they said, you know, he didn't think no more of it except that this thing had happened. But what had actually happened was the lines had melted, and of course this person only seen the UFO, and then he seen him dart away. He had no reason to think that anything was unusual except that he figured he seen a UFO. What I'm getting at is, he didn't say the lights all went out, because there was no lights along the highway to see go out. He just knew that it was over a hydro line glowing, and then he left. And the reason he left was it had stayed there so long, it had pulling the power in at such a rapid rate, it had melted all this hydro lines out. When Hydro went out to investigate, they found pieces in the snow, cooled down naturally. 200-300 feet of copper literally melted. Some was flat, some was spattered, where it just went into a dripping stage. So you can imagine the electromagnetic field as the UFO pulled this power through and actually melted the line and caused an outage at Facunas, which is owned by Falconbridge, and Levac, which is owned by Inco. And this went into official report, you know, reason for power outage. The men that were on shift were paid overtime. couldn't get up out of the mine unless you wanted to climb 3,000 feet straight up. And nobody wants that kind of exercise, you know. They waited for the elevator to be turned on. They had contact with the surface through the through their walkie-talkie network, which isn't, it's not prevalent on any other power but a battery power, eh? You know, just hooked to battery power backup system. And they said, what's wrong up there? And the elevator man apparently just said, we don't know, but a line must be down someplace. They didn't know anything about UFOs. You just can't come out from underground until we get power back. We phoned Hydro about it, and they're going to be out. So it happened about 3 in the morning, 3 a.m., and at 7 the next morning. This was reported in the paper, again, as vandalism, shooting at deer and popping at Hydro line insulators as a hobby at 3 o'clock in the morning. Imagine hunters out at 3 o'clock in the morning popping off Hydro insulators. This is what Hydro had to put in the paper to cover up again. Reported to the Sudbury Star, the two mines that were down and the reason for the power blackout until they repaired it. And really, when I talked to Mr. Bigwig himself, Hennessy of Ontario Hydro, he said we had 300 feet of hydro line melted, but that's not to get out into the public. But that was the reason. This is why this hydro thing was the way it was. That's another one of the interesting things that happened in my time, you know, 67, 68. These were the things that were going on in Sudbury. Quite interesting.